The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 21st day of November 2021. And the title of my message is A Sacrifice of Praise and Thanksgiving. And tonight we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 10. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore forth and unto him without the camp, beating the reproach, bearing the reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that you may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Well, here, we have the privilege to take the Lord's table. Even the richest and the most powerful unsaved people have no right to take the Lord's table. And if they do, many of those think, well, like Joe Biden, for example, he wants to take communion. He's an unrepentant sinner. And those priests that will do this, okay, give a sinful man who's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, these people embrace these priests that will give them. Okay, they are standing on very, very dangerous ground. And I would imagine you'll see many of them getting sick and many of them dying. Because God's Word, the Bible, means exactly what God's Word, the Bible, says. And so here, when we get down to verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Here, this verse can be translated, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he endured. The Jewish Christians were being ridiculed and persecuted by the Jews who didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And most of the book of the Hebrews tells them how Christ is greater than the sacrificial system. Here we see the writer drives home the point of his lengthy argument. It may be necessary to leave the camp and suffer with Christ to be outside the camp meant to be unclean, but Jesus suffered humiliation and uncleanness outside Jerusalem gates on their behalf. The time had come for Jewish Christians to declare their loyalty to Christ above any other loyalty, to choose to follow the Messiah, whatever suffering that might entail. They needed to move outside the safe confinement of their past and their other traditions and their ceremonies to live for Christ. And so the question is today, you folks out there listening to me, have you done that? This is what he said. The Lord Jesus, he wants us all. He wants it all. He demands that we put him first. He put us first. He held back nothing for us, and this is what he's demanding that we do for him. And so, again, what he's saying there in verse 14 is that we have no continuing future in this world, so we should not let ourselves get too attached to it. We should strive to place up crowns in heaven where we will, well, that's where we'll spend eternity. This life is so quick, and as older folks know it, as you get older, you realize how quickly time is passing. And then he ends here with verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we are to praise God always. And folks, you know, sometimes the people, they look around and they say, well, I don't see God, therefore God doesn't see me. No, listen, God is listening. God is listening. You say, well, how can he be listening to me and 8 billion other people? He's got the ability. He's got that ability. Take a good look on a starry night. That universe out there, he created it. In fact, Scripture says his power and his abilities are unlimited. They're unlimited. There's no limitation on it. I know that's hard for us to fathom. But listen, believe me, we've got to take God's word for it. I want to go now over to Colossians chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, by the way, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner today at the church. And I just want to really praise the good Lord for what a blessing it was, and all the ladies there that did such a wonderful job putting together such a great meal. They really did it. I mean, you know, those Baptist women are known for their cooking. Anyhow, I just want to praise the good Lord. What a wonderful time of fellowship we had today, and unbelievable the amount of food that was there and how God has blessed us and how we need to continually give him thanks for all of these blessings. And you know, if you don't know how blessed you are, go to some of these countries like North Korea or Venezuela and you'll find out just how blessed we are. And that's why when I look at these young people today, these college kids especially, and these young athletes that are ungrateful, unthankful, overprivileged, overpaid, spoiled, I'm telling you, it just makes me sick to look at them. If they realized, you know, and if I could, I would let them all spend some time in North Korea or Venezuela. Boy, you talk about an attitude adjustment, you'd get one then. But anyhow, over in Colossians chapter 2, here, verses 6 through 15, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, I got to take a sip here. With my tea. Here, the teaching is essential, the need to be rooted, meaning we draw wisdom, we draw healing, we draw learning and leading that will get us through the times that are coming. And folks, we got some tough times heading our way, believe me. This is the days, the evil day, the wicked day. We're living it real time. The God's word, the Bible, has warned us about. There is more woke lunacy coming our way, and the simple-minded will continue to fall for all of these foolish propaganda. Even when they see each other dying off, they will convince themselves that we, the unvaxxed, the Christians, we the Christians, the unvaxxed, will be the cause of their end. And here, as he says in verse 6, committing your life and submitting your will to him. That's what he's talking about. Seeking to recognize the Holy Spirit's power in you. That's what he's talking about here. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him with the head of all principality and power. And again, this vain philosophy and vain deceit, which is today, not only is it the apostate religion, but it's this woke, this whole woke lunacy. Even some of the liberals themselves have come out and said, you know, they've carried this lunacy way too far, and that is going to destroy them. And now, you know, and Paul wasn't against philosophy, because Paul himself was a gifted philosopher. He's not condemning philosophy, he's condemning teaching that credits humanity, in other words, and not God. You know, look, all good things come from God. All our blessings come from God. We have everything to be thankful for. Everything. But we don't have anything to be proud of. If we're smart, it's by God's grace. It's a gift of God. If we're healthy or handsome or whatever, we didn't acquire these things on our own. But for God's grace, we could have been born in some place like Bangladesh. We could have been born like some people are, without arms or legs. But by God's grace, the things that we have, and I keep hearing people talk about a self-made millionaire or self-made man. No, there's no such thing. That is foolish and vain philosophy, folks. When you hear people talk about this, I'm a self-made man, okay? Look, God owes us nothing. If every human being on this planet were to vanish today, it would not affect God in the least. But we're sustained by him. If he turns it off, you might say, we're gone. When God says your soul is required of you, it's required right then and right there. And you say, well, I don't necessarily believe that. That's okay, you will. You will believe that. There's no chance that you won't. You will believe that. I want to go now over to First Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll be there in a minute. Boy, for some reason, I'm really... Thursday. I did preach a very long message today. And so, let us start in verse 12 and read all the way through verse 28. Now here, again, just like we read over in Hebrews, in the last verse there in Hebrews, in fact, three times in Hebrews where we were, in Hebrews 13, maybe I should go back there. The Lord gives a message. When they give a message three times, you better pay close attention to that. And so let me go back to you. And just say here, for an example, in verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you." And then it says, "The word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation." Now here, he's telling you for the first time there, listen to the men that God has ordained. Listen to the men that God has raised up. The Bible teachers and the preachers, the ones that God has raised up and sent out. Now, folks, and how do you know which ones God has set up and raised out? Well, you check them with God's Word, the Bible, with the Word of God. Always do that. Don't believe a preacher just because he's preaching. And you know what? Okay, just say, well, you know, that guy, I've listened to him once and he was right on. I listened to him twice and he was right on. I listened to three times. I checked him from the Word of God. I don't have to check him anymore. Yeah, you do. Every time. You remain vigilant. And so every time you hear a preacher, get a hold of the Word of God and go along and make sure, okay, that it's God's Word that's being preached and not his. So he tells you the first time in verse 7, then we go to verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must have give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, which is unprofitable for you. The task of church leaders is to help people mature in Christ. And so people that cooperate and followers, they greatly ease the burden of leadership. And so, folks, in other words, don't argue. Don't give your pastors, those that are godly men, a hard time. And don't waste their time. Because I can tell you, every single pastor that I know that God has called, God has raised up, God has sent out, doesn't have any time to waste. I know in over 40 years, we haven't had one boring day, not one slow day in over 40 years. Not one. And so here, he's making that point. But then in closing, in the very final words in this chapter, salute them that have the rule over you. And so he's making a point again for the third time in this one chapter to listen to those pastors, those men of God. And by the way, when God raises up a pastor, it'll be a man. When God raises up a pastor, it'll be a man. Very clear. God does not call women to be pastors of churches. It's very clear in Scripture. Now, here, when we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord and this epistle to read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So here, what is he telling you here? He's telling you several things here. One, listen to the elders and the deacons. They're held to a higher standard. Now again, just like we said, we just read here, prove all things, prove all things. So measure what they teach and do by God's word. The King James Bible. This is what you do. You got to check. You have to, folks. In the days that we're living in, there are many, 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 many false teachers out there. Believe me. You've got these prosperity teachers that have found more ways to twist, spin, and pervert the word of God than you can imagine. My old, you know, and he's telling you also too, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. And when he talks about feeble-minded and support the weak, he's talking about a couple of things too. There are those people that don't seem to ever want to do anything. And my old Army sergeant years ago, when I was a young boot, and he used, I remember him saying, look, guys, do something, even if it's wrong, do something. He wanted to see people working. And here, you know, I'm not telling you to do something even if it's wrong, but I'm just telling you what he used to say. But the idea is there are a lot of people that have gifts, okay, and they don't use them. A lot of them, and I've had people tell me, well, you know, I'm not sure I can do that. I don't want to mess up. I'd rather not do anything than to do it wrong. Well, that's not the right attitude. That's not placing your trust in God, okay? And so here, other people are just plain lazy. They just don't want to do anything, okay? But here, he's making it very, very clear that God has given us, everybody, a gift. God has given everybody a gift. And here, what's he telling you? First of all, he's telling you over and over and over and over to give thanks to the Lord for everything. Now, again, I want to remind you that God's listening to us. He's listening to us. And I try to make a point every time I preach, every time at the church service, after the service, I try to make a point that is very, very important, okay, to have words of praise, to talk about how God has blessed us, how God has blessed us today, okay? And so here, we take a look at this. Give thanks to God for all of our blessings. Quench not the Holy Spirit by ignoring the gift that he has given you. Okay. Again, test the prophet. And how do you test him? Test him by God's word. That's where he says again, prove everything. Okay, prove everything. Okay. And then here, those people that mock those that are preaching the word of God, well, I can tell you this, they're standing on very, very dangerous ground. They're standing on very dangerous ground. And you have more and more of that today than we've ever had in the past. And so, I want to go over now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, and it's time to take another sip of this tea, because I am really parched. I did preach a long message today, but normally I don't get this parched so quickly. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, well, first we're going to say here, Paul here is saying that we should live our lives in such a manner that it brings praise and glory to God from men. We are to honor God with a strong faith and belief in that He is who He says He is, and that He expects us to fear Him and nothing else. That's all. The Bible says we're to fear God. That's it, right? And to have unwavering faith in His promise of eternal life for those that have received the promise. And as we go through here, we see here, starting in verse 10, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into the kingdom of glory. And so here, no loving father would neglect the safety of his children, right? So allowing them to walk into circumstances that might prove harmful or permanently damaging in some way is not what we are to do. And this is what he's telling you. He's warning them. So what do? We've got to take care of the new believers, take them in under our wing, until they're mature enough to stand firm in their faith. Because I remember some years ago, I had a woman come to me out there, right on the streets, where I was out there in front of the abortion mills preaching. And she came to tell me that she had received Christ as her Savior. But prior to this, she was a prostitute and a witch. And at this time, when I say years ago, that's when I was a young preacher. And she came also to warn me about their witches' covenant, where they were training these young witches on how to infiltrate the churches. And right at that time, I saw that very thing happening to a friend of mine who was a young preacher, also was pastoring a church. I was watching it take place. And she was saying how they were training these witches to go into a church and get close, befriend the pastor's wife, become the pastor's wife's best friend, get in there and then destroy the marriage and break up the church. And that's what they were trained to do. And I saw that. And so when this woman came to me and told me, I was kind of already aware of that taking place. But she came to warn me that I was one of those targets. Okay. Well, we did have some problems. I actually had some years ago when I was a young man, had some women that stalked me. I mean, everywhere I go, they were stalking me. But I've been married now. On the 16th of November, we were married for 53 years. So it didn't work. And so here, we want to say, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamably we have behaved ourselves. But then he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also. And here, in the New Testament, the word of God refers to the preaching of the gospel in the Old Testament, in Jesus Christ himself, you know, was a preacher of the Old Testament. Today, you know, of course, obviously, with everything he said, but Jesus often continuously quoted the passages from the Old Testament. And by the way, it was he that gave that to the prophets of old. Remember what he says in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says, what, he is the Word, that he himself is the Word, the truth. He goes on to say here, which worketh also in you that believe, for you, brethren, become followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away, for the wrath is to come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And so here, he's talking about Paul saying that we should live our lives in such a manner that it brings praise and glory to God from men. We are to honor God with a very strong faith and belief that he is who he says that he is. Again, he expects us to fear him and nothing else but him, and to have unwavering faith in his promise of eternal life for those that have received the promise, and it never do anything to bring, we are never, never, never to do anything to bring shame or dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we will walk worthy of him, just as the Jews had the wrath of God upon them for persecuting the church. The same will come upon the Deathocrats, the communist mob today. Those that hate God, the Democratic Party, the Deathocrats, whatever, those that are continuously doing evil, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's sodomy, pedophilia, they want to change now the name of pedophilia. Okay, they want to give it sounds names that make these worst, disgusting sins, these violations, these transgressions of God's law, they want to use terminology that makes it more palatable. You know, like they did by calling unborn baby a product of conception, or the murder of a child, a woman's choice. These are evil people, okay, that, again, use the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion to make the most vile, and I mean vile, wicked sins palatable. And the simple-minded, well, they quickly grab it and parrot it, okay? And so here, the Deathocrats out there today, they're continuing to trying to force their will upon us, whether it's getting shots, wearing masks, not being able to go someplace, this place or that place, continuing trying to force their will, or where you can and cannot work. And folks, God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter, not a bit, not one little bit. It tells you from Genesis to Revelation. He gives us three missions. Mission one, of course, is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, to go out preaching the gospel, witnessing, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching the Bible. Number two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, is clear. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And then number three, he tells you to stand fast and not give up. You know, in fact, let me go, and I'll just read it to you. I think I can jump over very quickly here. And to stand fast. Wrong chapter. Okay, here you go. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he calling you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or epistle. He's telling you not to give up any ground. We're to stand fast and not give up any of the ground. Hold fast to the traditions of the apostles. And then, I want to go over to Psalms 107. And in Psalms 107, I'll get there in a minute. Time for another sip. Actually, tonight I'm not drinking my green tea like I usually am. I got a special called Breathe Right. It's really good. It helps your respiratory system. And it's easier on the throat, too. And here in Psalms chapter 5, or chapter 107, verses 15 through 22, we read this. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. In other words, when they repent. He's talking about repentance here. Until the wicked call and repent, God doesn't hear them. Okay? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare the works with rejoicing. Now, the psalmist is telling us that we need, like the Jews who were celebrating. They were celebrating their return from the exile, and they were doing that by telling each other how how good God had been to them. And so that's what we're to do, and that's what we do every week in the service. I make sure that people we talk about how God has blessed us, all the blessings. You see, God's listening, folks. God is listening. And just think about yourself there. If you're always doing things for people, isn't it nice now and then to get a thank you? Isn't it nice now and then to get a thank you? It really is. And so, never forget that God is always listening. He wants to hear from you who are thankful for what he has done for you. I know one thing, what's happening here. For example, with these poisonous pokes. We've been warning people, I mean really warning people, about this. And a lot of people get very angry because that's not what they want to hear. They get very angry. And now that many of them are getting sick and dying from these shots, and they're blaming, and these are the people, the ones that have taken the shots, they're shedding, and they're blaming us because they've been told by those very same people that beguiled them, the very same people that conned them to begin with. Folks, and we told you right from the beginning, this Fauci was as phony as Dig and Gates. Back in the 80s, I was already telling you, all the way back then, about their global depopulation program. And that's what we're seeing here. But now you have hordes of doctors and virologists, medical and scientists coming out, and they're exposing this. But you'll only hear them on programs like this or on some of the conservative radio talk shows or those upon the internet, because the fake news media, I watched about 5 minutes of 60 Minutes. I couldn't watch it anymore. They were lying. They were telling such lies and spinning on that 60 Minutes. It made me sick. It made me sick. I knew that they were bad, excuse me, but I forgot just how much they lied. And these people are credentialed liars. They're contracted. They're literally contracted. And when I'm telling you this, I'm not in any way kidding you. They are contracted. They don't use the word lie, but they're contracted to teach or to speak the narrative, what they call the word, what we know as lies. Whatever lie, whatever they're told to push, they will. And those that have a guilty conscience and those that dare say, well, you know, I can't really say that, they get fired right away for violation of their contract. They're contracted to lie. And so, and by the way, Don Lemon, like we always tell Jerry Nadler, God's word, the Bible, is very clear. It doesn't stutter. Sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire, Don Lemon. Sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. You guys need to repent. And I'm telling you, God doesn't, he doesn't stutter. He's telling you, learn not to burn. Repent or perish. Repent or perish, I'm telling you. Anyhow, see, I really truly believe that part of being in hell, part of that punishment in hell, when these God haters get there, is they hear preachers like me continuously preaching that message, reminding them that we warned them, reminding them that we warned them. Over and over, they'll hear, repent or perish, repent or perish. And then I want to go to Daniel chapter 6. Now, we learn a lot from Daniel because Daniel had a situation. And Daniel was a very wise man. Daniel knew exactly what he had to do. He had to stand against the blasphemy and the tyranny of the corrupt deep state of his day. Now we, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Ezekiel, and the others, we are obligated to stand against the corruption and the tyranny of today. Well, you know, Daniel had his corrupt sheriffs and legislators of his day. And yeah, in Daniel chapter 6, you'll hear the word sheriff. They were referred to as sheriffs, okay? And these were an office of a high office. And here we have our corrupt sheriffs of our day. We have Joe Biden. We have these people are deceitful. They lie. We have Merrick Garland. He lied to Congress. He lied to Congress. Okay? Now, that's a felony. But why won't he be prosecuted? Because he heads up what used to be called the Department of Justice. It's got no legitimacy anymore. It's only a strong-arm branch, a strong-arm mob of the Democratic Collective. And the same thing what they've done is they've weaponized the IRS and the FBI. And he got caught lying when he had said that there was no way that he would ever give any instructions or to the FBI to investigate parents whose concern for their children brought them out to these school board meetings, and he would not have them investigated, and that's exactly what he did. He sicked the FBI on them, and he lied about it, okay? And so, and Chris Wray heads up that organization. And one time, you could hold your head up and say that I was a federal agent. That was the time. I knew some really good FBI who were good men. They were Christians and they were family men. Today, the shame. They have made it so dirty. They have brought so much dishonor to a once very, very good organization. And, of course, they've done that to the Justice Department and all the others, too. And here you had Nancy Pelosi, Chris Wray, Chuckie Schumer. Now, those people, like the corrupt sheriff and the Princes of Daniel's Day, they're very evil people. They're very evil people. And we saw a glimpse of courage from Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The jury was not intimidated by burn, loot, and murder. They call it Black Lives Matter. We call them burn, loot, and murder. Like the other juries in the other trials, like the killing of the drug addict, drug dealer, and thief, and robber, George Floyd, who stuck a gun in the belly of a pregnant woman as he and the other thieves robbed her. Now, these crimes made Floyd a hero amongst the lesser people, amongst the corrupt people, amongst those at NBC, ABC, CBS, PMSNBC, because of his crimes. I mean, if he was a rapist and that to them, remember, whatever God's word, the Bible, calls sin, these people embrace. They embrace it. And so, here, he became a hero. And they made statues to him, and at the same time, tearing down the statues of real heroes. I want to just read it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and windows, and being opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks for his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, and they found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. And see, Daniel knew that he was raised up for such a time as that, just like we're raised up for this time here. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within the 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree, and has signed, but maketh a petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard of these words, was sore displeased with himself. And by this time, Darius had realized what they had done to him. It's much like what those traitors did with President Trump. Those, the infiltrators, he was surrounded by traitors there, how they were waiting for the opportunity to betray him. Now, now Darius realized that too. And here, then the king said, he heard these words which the sword has pleased him, and set his heart to Daniel to deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. They had to get rid of Daniel. Daniel was an honest man. And there was no room in that deep state of that day like there is today. This is why they hate, you know, they hate honest people there in the Deathocratic collective. They can't handle honest people. And then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, the law of the Medes and the Persians, that is no decree or statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God which thou servest continuously, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. And when the signet of the Lord, that the purpose might be changed, might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his place and passed the night fasting, and neither was instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste in the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of thy living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad of him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in the God. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, and ever, and they came to the bottom of the den. Then the king Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble of fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So then Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and over Cyrus and Persia. By this time, Daniel was very old, and he's about 90 years old. And also, he had led not only Darius, but before him, Nebuchadnezzar. He had led both of them to the Lord. He made believers out of both of them. He had some help, too, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to finish tonight by going over to Hebrews chapter 12. And here over the years, I'm going to read some folks out, but in Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So he's telling us here, okay, that first of all, we have a great cloud of witnesses, those that went before us. And as I'm thinking today, I talked about some of those. I have written down, just wrote down off the top of my head, about almost 40 people that had attended our church, had been members of Doers of the Word Baptist Church over the years, and have gone home to be with the Lord. And I'll just read a couple of them here because of time. But here, now, when he's referring to here, when he was saying that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, most of those, the Old Testament saints, and they're cheering us on. They're cheering us on, folks. And so here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. And I've had more people say, what is that sin? Well, it's the sin spoken of in the previous chapter, all of chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. Is a lack of faith that many people have, is that sin that does so easily beset you. And here, of course, this is referring to when he's talking about we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, referring to those in the previous chapter, chapter 11, the chapter, the heroes of the faith there. But we, too, today have a great cloud of witnesses, and they're cheering us on out there. And he's telling us, too, for consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet strived resisted into blood, striving against sin. That means into death. Well, folks, again, all of this will matter. The time would come when everything that you're hearing today, none of what is happening today will mean anything or matter to you. The time will come, just like it's gonna happen tonight all over this world, when your soul is required of you. And when that comes, the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that will matter, is your standing with the Lord Jesus. You're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between there. There's no in-between. You're either saved or you're lost. And like we always say, everybody's going to die, so it's not a tragedy to die. But to die in your sin, well, folks, it don't get any worse than that. And here's the thing. You don't have to do that. All of the money in the world cannot buy your salvation. Right? The Lord Jesus, salvation is a gift. It's a gift. And the Lord Jesus, he provides that gift. And he makes it very simple. He tells you what you have to do is pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. That's the first thing you have to do. Don't listen to these heretics that tell you that repentance is not necessary for salvation. That's a lie told by liars, and that comes right from the pit of hell. So you pray to the Father. You ask for forgiveness of your sins. And then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and you ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. Now, you got to mean it. You got to mean it, and you need to think about what he died for you, how he suffered and bled. He took your sin upon him. He didn't have to do that, but he did that for you. And call upon his name and ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And when you do that, you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer and heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And you will be on a path to eternal life and immortality. Now, how do I know that? You've got God's word on it, and there is nothing as sure as the word of God. We're out of time for tonight. So, until tomorrow, like we always say, good night, God bless, and always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.